And there shall be signs in the sun, and in the moon, and in the stars, and upon the earth distress of nations with perplexity, the sea and the waves roaring, men's hearts failing them for fear, and for looking after those things which are coming on the earth, for the powers of heaven shall be shaken. One man, one microphone, one mission, one message. True News, the only newscast reporting the countdown to the second coming of Jesus Christ. Here is End Time Newsman, Rick Wiles.
During the True News program last Monday, October 10, I said that the real battle for America will start after the election of Donald Trump. I said that Donald Trump can't save America, but his election may give us more time. I verbally stumbled to find the words that I wanted to say. There was a particular word that was in my mind, but it did not come out of my mouth. The word was reprieve. Instead, if I recall, I said something like, if Trump wins, we will have been given a break or a chance to catch our breath. I don't recall my exact words, but I clearly remember that the word that I wanted to say was reprieve. When the program finished, I walked directly from the studio to my office. It was shortly after 5 p.m. I opened my email box and saw an email that arrived at 4:48 p.m. The subject line was dream. It was an email from a young woman who said that the Holy Spirit gave her a message the previous day that he was going to soon give her an important dream. And this is what she said to me in that email. In the dream, I saw the inside of a courtroom. There was a huge desk where the judge sat, but I couldn't see the judge. I saw his arm, and I saw that he was holding a gavel. The room was full of people. They were praying and looked like they were anticipating something. I saw Donald Trump standing off to the side. His hands were behind his back. He wasn't arrogant, but you could tell that he really didn't seem to completely understand the seriousness of what was going on there. He looked up at the judge, but then lowered his head back down. The judge called some of the people forward to the bench. Very humbly, a few people stepped forward out of the crowd. The judge asked, "What is your petition?" A person spoke up and said, "What we have come to ask for today, sir, is a reprieve." For a moment, I saw the side view of the face of the judge, but not clearly. I saw that he looked over at Donald Trump, who was standing in front, but not front and center. He was off to the side. Trump lowered his head in respect. Then I saw him look at the crowd of people. Their hands were folded like they were praying. Others were wide-eyed in anticipation and were very eager. Then he looked back at those who had stepped forward. He held up his gavel in the air and said, "The reprieve has been," and a gavel started to come down, but the words were never finished. I don't know if he was going to say granted or denied. I woke up from the dream. I believe we are literally in a crucial place that God is testing the hearts of men and women. Will we keep praying Or will we become lazy in our prayers and repentance? Or will we earnestly seek him and pray for our nation? We need to ask God for a reprieve, to spare us, and give us more time to reach more people. That was the email that arrived that day. My sermon this past Sunday night was America in the Valley of Decision. It is on our website and our app, and I encourage you to listen to it and share it. I've been a watchman on the wall for 18 years, and I have never seen the danger level so high. America is on the edge of civil war and war with Russia at the same time. What is happening in real time is mind-boggling and breathtaking. And I am concerned that many of you are standing there frozen, watching the unprecedented events happen before your eyes, mesmerized by these things. The subject of nuclear war has now worked its way into the headlines of the mainstream news media. WikiLeaks dropped the motherload of documents today. And I am deeply concerned about Julian Assange's physical safety. Something stupendous is underway as I speak to you. I'm not sure most people who are paying attention to these events even comprehend the magnitude of what is transpiring this week. I'm going on a 21-day fast starting tomorrow, and I ask you to join me. I recommend that you pray and ask the Lord what type of fast he desires you to keep. Don't foolishly make a vow to God to fast if you can't physically keep it. The way to fast is to allow the Holy Spirit to tell you how and when to fast. That way the Lord will give you sufficient grace to keep the fast. I want to bring Doc Burkhardt and Bjor Hernandez and Edward Zoll into the discussion at this point. Doc, this is mind-boggling. I don't have words. As we walked into the studio a few minutes ago, you know, I quipped to you guys, I said, is it possible to do a radio program with your mouth hanging open, unable to say anything? I don't know what to say anymore. I'm out of words. We are preparing for nuclear war. And internally, the nation is so divided right now that a civil war or revolution could break out at any minute. Steve Quayle has told me for years, and he is on record for many years saying this on radio, that the Lord told him, I'm going to say at least 20 years ago, because I've known Steve now for 18 years, and Steve has maintained that the Lord told him many years ago that just before judgment strikes the nation, God would expose the sins of this nation. And it is happening right now. It's happening in real time. If you guys take a look at Drudge right now as we speak, the top banner headline. I mean, Drudge is now posting links to the Inquirer. The Inquirer is doing reporting that the mainstream news media won't report. And so the Inquirer has a major story right now about Hillary Clinton's sordid past. And Edward, if I understand, this is an interview with a man who said he was a hitman.
Yes.
A hitman for Hillary Clinton. And he mentions Vince Foster in this interview. Is somebody about to confess that Hillary ordered the murder of Vince Foster?
He may be a Larry Nichols with documents. He may be a whistleblower that has the evidence to back up what we have speculated and wondered for years is the underbelly of the Clinton cabal.
Edward, you have been closely following the WikiLeaks drama, and we are aware of some of the files that have been released today. Files that have not been published anywhere. And I would rather not say on this program what those files are. I now understand why yesterday WikiLeaks said to their network of supporters, do not download these files if you are not prepared for a physical attack on your life. The deep state is now in a state of war. It's in a state of war, Doc.
I believe you. I do believe
we are on a war footing now. It's the deep state, the regime, commonly known as the New World Order. It's now on a war footing. The beast is going to war, and it will go to war with people domestically in this country and with foreign nations. It is going to war. And this is an extremely dangerous time. Documents have been released by WikiLeaks today that could implicate powerful, influential persons and entities in a multitude of crimes that is beyond comprehension.
It rewrites history.
It really does. And just the few things I was able to look at today, normally I come into the program, I try to find, you know, sometimes you just have to laugh at the news. There's no laughing about this.
No,
at all.
Doc, this is,
I mean, there are
this
things
is deadly
I saw,
serious.
Saw things today. I'm just like, this really is it.
We're talking about death lists, kill lists. We're talking about things that we have always suspected exist. All right, let's just talk about. All right, we published one of them today.
Right.
Doc, you handled this one. This has to do with Julius Baer, which is a very old, prominent bank in Switzerland.
Right.
Tell us, we have the letter from Julius Baer Bank to Angela Merkel.
Yes. And I'll just read the letter, and that way you'll get an idea of what was actually said. So this letter was transmitted by a representative, Julius Baer, to Angela Merkel. This was back in 2007. Dear Mrs. Merkel, we would like to let you know to close all accounts with Julius Baer. This is a little bit of transliteration there. With Julius Baer, Zurich and Guernsey. It is not our policy to hide funds in offshore accounts, which obviously are used to execute payments to German politicians. The last few payments in the amount of $1.2 million was even paid to a numbered account with Credit Suisse. Those payments miss all reason, and therefore those are suspicious transactions we are forced to report to authorities. We kindly request you to sign the attached confirmations and close, in particular, your trust and the trust of your husband with Julius Baer in Guernsey. So in this one letter here, it has implicated the German chancellor in hiding funds for the purpose of paying off politicians.
They put it in a letter.
Yes.
It's in a bank letter to the chancellor of Germany.
Right.
But it mentioned Guernsey. It's referring to Guernsey, which is one of the Channel Islands
yes.
of Great Britain, a very a very popular offshore tax haven.
Mm-hmm.
So what this letter from Julius Baer Bank in Switzerland is saying is that Angela Merkel was seeking to move a large sum of money offshore, and Julius Baer knew that the purpose of that account was to make payments to German politicians.
And they wanted no part of it. Just that one letter. If nothing else came out today, just that. I mean, that,
Merkel, when this gets out, I mean, we were the first to publish it. When this gets out, I mean, Merkel should be arrested. And a long list of German politicians should be arrested. But this is just the beginning. This is the tip of the iceberg. There are files in the WikiLeaks dump today that I, quite frankly, am afraid to talk about on this program. I'm just being honest with you. I'm afraid to talk about it.
Things that we have talked about for decades, literally, and that you're seeing.
It's so serious, I really don't even want certain people in the beast to even know that I even know that these files exist. That's how serious this is. What Julian Assange did today was that he flushed the entire New World Order down the toilet drain. Edward, why? What's going on?
So for Julian, we learned this morning there was a statement that was released by both AP and Reuters that the foreign minister for Ecuador has confirmed that Julian Assange is alive and still has jurisdictional asylum at the embassy as long as the parameters for the initial asylum remain. Well, then as the day progressed, at about 11 o'clock, that's when this directory was given access to the community that has access to it, without naming names. The short of this is it looks to be about a third of what he has.
A third?
There could be three times what is being released today coming out in the public sphere.
Edward, I've been doing this job for almost two decades. I thought I have seen and read and heard some of the most mind-boggling, stupendous things. What I saw today, I'm telling you, folks, it's chilling. It's chilling. You have no idea how wicked and evil this beast is.
What we've seen today turns you from being a reporter to actually being a historian.
Right.
The information, it literally proves.
Well, everything was in there but the 48 Roswell file.
And it's still
and
early
that may
yet.
Be coming yet. You're right, Edward. All the things that were called conspiracy theories, they're in the WikiLeaks drop today.
Documented.
There's stuff about 9/11. There are documents in here about a lot of things that are places that the deep state does not want discussed.
Right.
I mean, if the one that we just read to you, Angela Merkel being kicked out of Julius Baer Bank, that's the lightest one there.
Yeah, that's low-hanging fruit there.
That's the easiest one there. After that, it gets worse.
All right, you've got to look at the window, and you've spoken about this. We're in a danger zone up until November 8th, a danger zone. We're 24 hours out from what's arguably the most important debate in U.S. election history.
I mean, obviously, the establishment news media is not going to discuss what Julian Assange did today. Remember a few months ago, CNN had, was it CNN or Fox? Bob Beckel? I think it was Fox. Bob Beckel, the Democratic Party strategist. And I'm not going to, you know, he used some vulgarities, but he said on national TV about Julian Assange, he needed to be assassinated.
Right. And then Hillary Clinton, in one of the Podesta emails that we read about last week, called for a drone strike on Julian
Assange.
Yeah,
she said, why can't we drone this guy?
All right. I completely forgot to bring up the other revelation that we learned today from WikiLeaks themselves. They're claiming that John Kerry actually pressured the Ecuadorian government during the FARC negotiations in Colombia during September to, again, cut off Julian Assange's access and the ability to distribute.
All right, but something happened in the past, 72 hours that Ecuador caved in. Now, Rafael Correa, president of Ecuador, a socialist, has publicly endorsed Hillary Clinton.
Right.
Now it's starting to make sense. A socialist in Ecuador supporting a socialist in America. And my guess is that Hillary called Rafael Correa in Quito and said, if you want to be part of the global communist movement, you need to get rid of Julian Assange because he is hurting us really bad.
Yes.
And now Rafael Correa had to choose between, was he going to be the radical revolutionary who was on the side of Julian Assange, who was poking the New World Order in the eye, or was he going to be a good player in the global communist movement?
Right.
Because they're the same. And so my guess is Rafael Correa caved in and said, I'll cut off his internet and I'll turn him over to you. I think he's going to surrender him. I think he's going to give him to the U.S. Julian Assange will, if he's lucky, he'll be sent to Gitmo, if he's lucky.
I don't think he'll get that far. That's my opinion.
Well, there are millions praying for Julian. The night he did the release, we chose to do live tweets. That was our coverage of it. And, you know, we were just trying to send a message to him that, you know, Christ is an awesome person to believe in, my
yes.
friend. And that Christians are praying throughout the world.
Yes.
That this man.
I believe God's using Julian Assange. I have
absolutely.
No idea what this man's religious faith is, but I believe God is using him.
Well, Pastor, you can't repent of sins that haven't been revealed. I mean, I've been a pastor long enough that when you do that altar call, you've got to call out the sin, and people have to come to that altar and they have to confess their sin. But unless they're aware of that sin, they won't repent. And I think God is using this exposure of this corruption at the highest levels in every sector of our world, from political to the military to religious, everything. It's just all being torn open. And we have an opportunity to say, dear God, forgive us. Lord, we have sinned as a nation. Or we can continue to wallow in our sin and then face the judgment of God.
I received a phone call today from a friend of ours, a sister of mine. Her name's Leah. I've mentioned her various times throughout the years. She doesn't call often, but when she does call, it's because the Lord told her to call me. I may hear from her twice a year, but it's always because the Holy Spirit told her to call me and say something. So she called today, and what was on her heart today was she felt a burden that Christians must be in intercessory prayer tomorrow night during the presidential debate. She believed that the Lord was telling her that a large number of witches will be praying to Lucifer on behalf of Hillary Clinton tomorrow night. And I said, well, Leah, you don't need Holy Spirit revelation for that. You could just read the London Telegraph. And she said, what are you talking about? So I told her about the article that was in the London Telegraph 2 weeks ago, a day or two before the last presidential debate. And here's what it said. Again, London newspaper. Already trailing in the polls and under heavy fire following the disclosure of comments he made about women a decade ago, Donald Trump has also upset witches and pagans. Republican strategists hope for a better performance from Mr. Trump in the next debate could be dashed by powerful new forces beyond his control. A group calling itself the World Ad Hoc Association of Witches has pledged to exert mental influence on Trump during the debate to force him to quit the race. The group has urged pagans and witches worldwide to participate in what it describes as a call to action. It will entail the pagan community focusing energy during the debate to get inside Trump's head. The article says, rather hopefully, the call to action includes a map to show supporters exactly where in St. Louis, Missouri, they should concentrate their mystical powers. When Anderson Cooper asked questions, pagans and witches have been told to chant, quit the race, quit the race. When Trump speaks, the witches have been told to say, I quit. By entering what it describes as Trump's mental field. This was the London Telegraph 2 weeks ago.
Right. Right before the St. Louis debate.
Right. So Leah called me today and said, Holy Spirit is telling her witches are going to be praying against Trump tomorrow night.
Well, believers will be praying, and we have the name that is above all names, and that is Jesus.
Amen. I will be praying, as I prayed in the other two debates. I prayed hours before the debate, intense intercessory prayer. And I prayed at various times during the debate. I prayed that Donald Trump's mind would be clear, that there would be no interference, that the Lord would put a hedge of protection around his mind and his body, and that he would have a sharp intellect and be in full command of his mental faculties throughout the debate. This time, I will be praying that confusion would cloud Hillary Clinton's mind and that fear would come upon her. I'm asking the Lord to put fear in the camp of the enemy. I'm praying that Hillary Clinton will fall during this debate in whatever manner God chooses to bring her down. If the witches can pray against Donald Trump, the Christians can pray that Hillary Clinton will fall.
The same way Christians prayed for the gates of Vienna not to fall, the same way Christians prayed for the Moors to fail in their invasion of Europe during the Dark Ages, this is a turning point in history that we're facing.
Pastor, the days of Elijah.
Amen.
The God of fire is the one that's going to answer the people's prayers.
Amen. There was an old intercessory prayer warrior named Reese Howe.
Oh, yes.
You know that name?
Yeah. Got one of God's generals.
There's a book called Reese Howe Intercessor. I read it 38 years ago, Rees Howe, Intercessor. And in that book, he had orphanages in Great Britain during World War II. And he would call the children to prayer and the orphanage workers during World War II. He would go into deep intercessory prayer. And somebody correlated his prayer journal with true events that happened in World War II. And when this old prayer warrior would call his prayer meetings, Hitler's army and air force would be defeated in a battle. There was one particular battle when the German air force was flying toward London to bomb the city. And for no reason, they turned around and went back. It was because Rees Howe was praying against the forces of evil and wickedness. Let me tell you, folks, what we're up against in this country, it's as evil and as wicked as the Nazis. Yeah, the left, you can publish anything you want on your website. I'll shove it down your face. You people are more wicked and evil than anything the Nazis did to Germany in the 30s. And WikiLeaks is exposing your corrupt, evil ways.
I learned about another famous evangelist last night. You've probably heard of him. His name is Smith Wigglesworth.
Oh, sure.
So, Wigglesworth, being an evangelist in the 1890s to around 1910 in England.
Actually, he died in the 40s.
He did? Okay.
Yeah.
There was a quote that I thought was very, very appropriate to what we're facing here. Well, he was known for, praying over people and praying the evil spirits out of ill people, people with cancer and other things like this. His methods often involve hitting, slapping, or punching the afflicted part of the body. On a number of occasions, his approach to persons suffering from stomach complaints was to punch them in the stomach, sometimes with such force, it propelled them across rooms. This is a quote directly from him. When challenged on this, his response was, "I don't hit them. I hit the devil."
That's right. And one time, he was called to the home of a person who had died, and the spouse called in Smith Wigglesworth to pray for the dead spouse. And he picked up the corpse and slammed it against the wall and told it to walk, and the person came back to life. That was Smith Wigglesworth. Okay. He was not polite to the devil. There's another story, Edward. He was in an old country church, and he was preaching. He's walking up and down the aisle preaching, and he discerned. Now, this was old country church with wooden pews, kind of like benches, just benches, you know. And he discerned that three women sitting together on a bench were witches who were casting spells against him. And so he went down the aisle preaching and never lost, his train of thought, never broke his speech and his sermon. But as he passed their bench, and Smith Wigglesworth was a big old guy, and he just reached down and picked up the bench and flipped it up in the air and tossed the women onto the floor and said, "Get out of the Church of God." And they ran out. You imagine that kind of stuff going on in church today? We need some of it.
I grew up on that.
Did you?
Pastor.
All right.
Truth be told, I did leave the Lord at some point in my life when I was a little rebellious, younger, right?
Mm-hmm.
But I grew up on that, Pastor. And I truly believe that God called me back to him for such a time as this, because I believe wholeheartedly that we will see that again, widespread, not in Africa where they're praying away a hurricane coming in, and it's on YouTube. We're going to see it right here in the United States of America.
Amen. Let's see it. So you've seen some of these things.
Oh, yes.
It's not scaring you, huh?
Not at all.
Oh, okay. All right. Now I might get a little bit bolder here. Okay. But anyhow, I want to go back to what Leah was telling me. All right. Because she said The Lord was telling her that we needed to pray during the debate because witches were going to be interceding through Lucifer against Donald Trump. And so I told her about the London Telegraph article from several weeks ago. Okay, then something came to my mind, which she had forgotten. And this was a telephone call she made to me, and I would say it was 2010 or 2011. She is going to go check her medical records because she would be able to pinpoint when this happened. I answered my cell phone, and it was Leah, and she was definitely under the influence of drugs, medical drugs. And I was concerned. I said, Leah, what's wrong? And she said, I just came out of surgery. I said, where are you? And she said, I'm in recovery. And I'm thinking, why would somebody call me just after they get out of surgery? And she said, in a very slow voice, she said, the Holy Spirit told me to call you right now. And I thought, this whole conversation is unusual. I'm trying to, you know, I'm trying to get a mental picture. She's in the recovery room. She just came out of surgery. And I said, Leah, what kind of surgery? And she said, cancer. I go, this is so, so odd. And I said, Leah, what is it? And she said, the doctor told me, he just told me, had we not opened you up, we would have never seen the tumor that was hiding behind your spine on the left side. And so I thought she's talking about her operation, which she was. And I said, oh, so the doctor found a tumor and he got it out. She said, yes, he cut it out. But he said, had we not opened you up, we would have never seen the tumor because it was hidden behind your backbone and it was on the left side. And I talked to her about her surgery and I said, okay, so what is it that the Lord told you to tell me? She said, I just told you. And for a moment I was puzzled. And I said, you know, because I'm thinking, okay, she's still under the influence of the anesthesia.
Right.
I thought, okay, she's a little loopy right now, and she really doesn't even know why she's calling me. And I said, okay, Leah, I said, you know, let me pray for you. She goes, do you understand what the Lord wants you to know? And I said, no, I don't. She said, the cancer was hidden on the left side. The Lord said to tell you, there is a cancer in America hidden on the left side. And the country will have to be opened up and cut open to see it. That's what she said to me.
That was back in...
It was either 2010 or 11. And when I told her this today, she said, I completely forgot about it, Rick. I've never remembered that. She said, I could go back and get my medical records. I could tell you when that happened. But the Lord said to call me and say, there is a cancer in America. It's hidden. It's on the left side. The country will have to be cut open in order to see it and to get it out. That, my friend, is what is happening right now. The country is split open. We're on the operating table. Doc, this is powerful stuff. There is a cancer on the left side. Edward, what came out today? James O'Keefe came out with another video today.
In his video, he lays out further how the Democratic Party has used voter registration and the looseness of ID requirements to vote to essentially rig elections for the last 50 years.
Not essentially.
To rig.
These Democrats brag. They brag while being recorded by hidden cameras that they have been rigging the elections for 50 years. They brag about it. Now, the guy that's on this video, this Fovell?
Yes, it's Scott Fovell. He's the deputy political director at People for the American Way.
No, he's People for the American Way. That's a George Soros-funded Podesta group that runs Right Wing Watch. Our dear friends over there, Right Wing Watch. But he went to another group. Was it Change for America?
Yes, Bob Creamer was the man.
So they fired him today?
Yes, they fired him 17 minutes ago, so it will get announced.
He was fired after this video was released. Now, look, we've edited out the obscenities. It's full of obscenities. I typically don't tell people to watch videos that have obscenities in it. But the Democratic Party's corruption is obscene. It is obscene. And you need to see and hear this video. The establishment news media, including Fox News, has done a blackout on this video. And the video that was released yesterday, they have done a blackout, including Fox News. Although Sean Hannity was allowed to talk about it, but they canceled the interview with Mr. O'Keefe. I'm going to play a soundbite from the video, but I strongly encourage you to watch the entire video. It is revolting. It is disgusting. My friends, they're bragging that they have taken us for a ride for 50 years. Everything that we always suspected, it's in the video. They're bragging about it. Here it is.
You could f*** your mother in front of the governor and not go to jail.
However, other people can make things happen that you don't need to know about. We talk about lots of things that we don't talk about.
You know what? We've been busting people in for 50 years, and we're not going to stop now.
This is part two of our undercover investigation into the dark, backroom dealings of the Hillary Clinton campaign. Part one blew up on social media, with many Americans wondering why the mainstream media wasn't covering the story. In fact, Project Veritas Action had television exclusives lined up around the country. Those television stations spiked the story at the last minute. Our sources tell us the reason they did so was fear of retaliation and retribution from a future Hillary Clinton administration. Truth is dangerous, especially when it challenges those in power. In this video, Democratic operatives tell us how to successfully commit voter fraud on a massive scale.
A lot of free union guys, they'll do whatever.
Oh, yeah.
You want, and they're rock and roll.
So I'm basically deputy rapid response director for the DNC for all things Trump on the ground. Nobody's really supposed to know about me.
You know what I'm saying? We have mentally ill people who we pay to do make no mistake.
This guy named Cesar Vargas is his name.
I got a priest to cry on camera once.
You know, Brad and Bob and Lux and myself are all part of the old school method where it doesn't matter what the legal and ethics people say. We need to win this.
So Bob is really good friends with him and talked to him this afternoon. And they're all in. If we can get $25,000, they're all in.
Our investigators wanted to find out what it would take to get the highest favorable turnout. Democratic Politico Scott Fovell was our target, and he was more than willing to lead us through the process of how to rig an election.
We did spam when we were in charge, too.
What did we do?
We did the exact same thing. We manipulated the vote with money and action, not with laws.
It's a very easy thing for Republicans to say, well, they're busting people in. Well, you know what? We've been busting people in to deep for 50 years, and we're not going to stop now.
What do we do with this stuff now? It's out in the open. What do we do with it? I mean, WikiLeaks, James O'Keefe, all this stuff that's coming out. It's all being laid out on the table. It's showing the foul, disgusting corruption of the American political establishment and the news media and the banking system and all of it together. It's all one horrible, putrid mess. What do we do with it?
We call out the sin. That's what we do. We call it out.
But after you call it out, what do?
We take responsibility. You've already told me, obviously, a congressional inquiry at this point is worthless because they themselves
are part of it.
They're part of it.
It's further than that. We're having an inquiry from God right now. I mean, we stand before God right now as a nation.
You're right, Doc. We're on the operating table as a nation, and he's got us cut open.
Right.
He has split us open. He's cracked our chest and split us down the middle.
And saying, I can save your life, but it's going to hurt. It's going to be a lot of pain, but it's going to save your life. Or you can die with this.
Go ahead, Edward.
You know, a lot of ways, everyone in this country has to at least watch this. You don't have to agree with it. You don't have to, you know, necessarily say, hey, I agree one way or the other on this. But you have to see this to know what has been going on. You have to choose. Do you accept this? Is this the country you want to live in where lawlessness is legalized? Or do you reject it? Do you reject it and you repent for what we have let happen in this country for the last, not 50, 100 years? This is how it has worked in this country.
And you can't sit there and say that you're not aware of it. We all know it. We all know it. We all know it. It's just now been exposed and put out in the open there. We are responsible for this. When we created this nation, we replaced the sovereign king of the nations of Europe with the sovereign people of our nation. We became the king. The people of our nation replaced the king. The king is responsible for their nation. We have allowed this. We have allowed it. And the church has said nothing. Nothing. How many churches this past weekend or even this coming weekend will preach on the corruption in high places at every level of our society?
Very few, Doc.
It's us, Pastor. I don't want to say it, but it's true. It's us. We're the corrupt ones. We're the ones standing before God dressed in the filthiness of our sin.
God is using WikiLeaks, and he's using James O'Keefe and others to expose. He's using the National Enquirer to expose our sin as a nation.
I mean, it's causing me, dear God, I repent, I repent, I repent, God.
It's disgusting. It's revolting. And whenever God reveals your sins, that's when you have to make the decision. It is not enough to just confess the sin. After you confess the sin and after you repent, you have to clean it up. Repentance means to turn and go another direction. So true repentance means you clean up your act. And as a nation, we can't say we're sorry and that we regret this stuff without cleaning up our act. The American people are going to make a decision in less than 3 weeks about who runs this country. And these people on this Democratic, in this James O'Keefe video of these Democratic Party activists, they're bragging that they have been rigging the elections for 50 years. And they've been doing it in ways that they would not get caught. And if they got caught, they wouldn't be prosecuted.
And laughed in their sin, laughed at it.
And said, we're not going to stop. We got to win this election and we're not going to stop. You know, I mentioned at the beginning of the program last Monday, a week ago. And when the program was over, that's when I received that email about the courtroom and America being requesting, the Christians requesting God to give us a reprieve. I think that was the same day that my wife Susan was sitting here in the studio, and she had a vision sitting right here in the studio, Doc.
Yes, I remember her sharing that.
And she shared it with us after the program, and I said, why didn't you speak up? You should have told us in the middle of the program what you saw. What I recall is that she saw a person on a hospital bed, and she saw the doctors putting the paddle on their chest, on the chest of the person, shocking the body. and the person woke up and she saw the monitor flatline first. There was a flatline. The person, the corpse was dead. I mean, the body was dead. Person had died there in the hospital. And then they put the paddles on the body and shocked this person, and the heartbeat came back. And the Lord told her that that was the church and that he was shocking the church. He was shocking the church.
I have to speak.
Go ahead. That's why you're here.
Glory be to God. Pastor, so Susan, she gave me today an email from a listener. He's been listening to you for about 5 years. He shared his testimony with me. I'm so excited to deliver that soon to our listeners. But just briefly, I want to say, he code blued in the hospital. Came back to life.
This is the deputy sheriff.
The deputy sheriff, yes. And what I find interesting now that you're reminding us of that vision that Susan had, it's a similar, she had the vision, I spoke to him today, and what did he say? The Lord told him, while he was dead.
This guy was physically dead. He had a heart attack, and it was code blue in the hospital.
Yes, that the Lord, part of the vision that the Lord gave him during that time was that the body of Christ is not ready for his coming, that he wants to come back for his church, but the church is not ready.
You know, Pastor, as she shared this, I've got to just thinking, and the Holy Spirit just was speaking to me just now, here we are. How WikiLeaks has, bypassed the mainstream media and gone directly to the people, how Mr. Trump has bypassed the normal political process and gone straight to the people. Could it be that God is bypassing the normal channels of communication? In this program today, we've shared 3 or 4 dreams that God has given to various people speaking about this time that we're in. Could it be that God is speaking through extraordinary means in order to give us an opportunity to repent and save our nation? I mean, God is merciful. He doesn't want to see any perish. He wants to see all come to repentance. But so many are not listening, and he's having to bypass the normal channels of communication to get a message to us, his people. But are we listening?
Doug, what's happening? It's extraordinary. It's unprecedented. I'm speechless to describe what's taking place. We haven't even talked about nuclear war. I've got some stories here in front of me that are bone-chilling. We haven't even talked about it. All we've talked about here is the corruption that's being exposed in the United States of America today. This corruption, I'm telling you, what WikiLeaks dumped today could bring down the entire U.S. political, economic, media establishment and vast portions of the European establishment, such as the German political establishment.
It's clearly become more than just a fight between globalism and nationalism. It's a crossroads between good and evil.
This is a spiritual thing. The more we talk about this today, the more I realize this isn't, we talk about news every day, and we've had people that have listened to this program for 18 years, Pastor, but this is a spiritual battle that's going on right now. We are in the midst of it. We are in World War III, and it's the world versus God.
And the witches and the pagans are praying to Lucifer, but are the Christians praying to Jesus Christ? Or are they just watching this stuff? The ones that are aware, even the ones that are aware, are they praying? How many hours are you spending in prayer for righteousness to prevail? Before that debate starts tomorrow night, will you spend an hour on your knees interceding for your nation? Will you wage spiritual war against evil, wicked forces? Will you pull down strongholds in the name of Jesus Christ? That's the question. And God is looking at us right now saying, I've cut your country wide open. I've broke your chest open. I'm exposing the evil, the darkness. I'm exposing the tumor. Will you repent? Will you get up and do something? Will you ask me to heal your land? Listen to these next articles. So, Daily Star out of Great Britain. Do you realize how much news we get from outside of the USA?
Most of our news is
from outside. Of our news. True news is we are an underground news source inside the controlled, occupied territory of the New World Order. And I don't know how long they're going to allow us to do this, because the beast is angry right now. The beast has been exposed. The beast is cornered right now. This is what the Daily Star reported. An unnamed former senior U.S. military officer has claimed evidence shows Russian submarines will enter the United States via the small village of Wasilla, Alaska. That's home of Sarah Palin. According to the ex-Navy brass, the stretch of coastline is totally unprotected and would be ideal to stage an attack from. He said, quote, our feeling in the Navy was that Obama had turned Alaska into a defenseless area that will serve as the forward base of operations when World War III begins. We are on the verge of being invaded from Alaska all the way down into Canada and the Northwest. He has also claimed Russians have been practicing posing as highway road crews, which is in preparation for a full-scale war so that they can disrupt communications and seize vital bridges. This is in Alaska. Other sources claim Russians in civilian clothing have been quietly moving into Alaska and living in abandoned motels and military bases. In August, Putin ordered a specialist coastal defense division to be set up. This has seen nukes moved to shore up control of Russia's eastern coast, stretching from the Arctic in the north to the territory in the south. That's a London newspaper article today. Did you see that in your local newspaper today?
Hear it on the nightly news on the network?
Here's a report from nationalinterest.org. It says, here's a nightmare scenario that keeps Russian generals up at night. American submarines and aircraft launching precision-guided cruise missiles by the hundreds. Within minutes, they slam into Russian bases, communication nodes, and the Kremlin's own missile launchers. Russia is freaked out enough about this possibility in the event of a major war that it is taking steps to militarize its civilian communications infrastructure. Specifically, the Russian military is buying up jamming devices, which it will mount on cell phone towers. The Kremlin could switch on the jammers, known as Pole 21s, during a conflict and pray a U.S. missile blitzkrieg becomes a less accurate. It's a long story. Again, this is nationalinterest.org. Everybody is getting ready for World War III.
And the irony with that story is the U.S. has something called Stingray, which we put on cell phone towers.
That's to listen to us.
Right. It's not to deter missiles. It's to spy on the domestic population.
Washington Times, North Korea warns use of nuclear weapons on first strike. Washington Times said North Korea, angered by what it says are aggressive exercises in the south with U.S. forces, said it will strike first with nuclear weapons. North Korea also stated it will continue nuclear tests after its recent fifth nuclear event. A spokesman for North Korea, Lee Yong-pil, said the U.S. has nuclear weapons off our coast targeting our country, our capital, and our dear leader, Kim Jong-un. We will not step back as long as there's a nuclear threat to us from the United States. If we see that the U.S. would do it to us, we would do it first. We have the technology. We have the nuclear weapons to protect our country, and it's our policy to go nuclear.
Yeah.
Look, I could just go on for another half hour reading the articles I have in front of me. I haven't even talked about the latest, what's going on in Syria and in Mosul, Iraq. The U.S. is allowing 10,000 ISIS fighters to escape from Mosul, Iraq, so that they will go north into Syria, into Aleppo to fight the Russians. The Russian, Sergei Lavrov, said today, we will take care of that problem. I think we all know what they're going to do. When they see 10,000 ISIS fighters moving towards Aleppo, they're going to mow them down.
Well, we quickly forget that the U.S. version of a JDAM is essentially a small-yield nuclear weapon. The Russians have those weapons already in the Syrian peninsula.
And Putin warned us last December about using tactical nukes in Syria. I mean, we're now not talking about just tactical nukes in Syria. They're talking about nukes in the United States.
Yes.
There was let me see if I can find it. And also, the Brits are nervous about some Russian battleships that are going to be moving through the English Channel
with their solo aircraft carrier.
But there was a story here. I'm trying to find it. It was a Russian business leader, something akin to a Chamber of Commerce leader. And he said that he's concerned that nuclear war will start before the U.S. elections on November 8th, and that he was stockpiling food, and that everybody he knows in Russia is getting ready quickly, not casually. Quickly. I mean, he specifically said, we think it could start before the U.S. elections. That's because Russia knows that the beast in the United States is wounded.
Right.
WikiLeaks has wounded the beast. The Trump campaign has wounded the beast. The tumor has been exposed. The question now is, will the surgeon go in and cut out the tumor that's hiding behind America's backbone on the left side? But Russia knows that this thing is dangerous, this thing, this shadow government that has controlled America for decades. It's dangerous because it's wounded. It's been exposed. And Russia is bracing for an attack, not a first strike against us, but an attack from us against them in a desperate move to prevent collapse of the United States. Well, a desperate move to prevent the collapse of the regime that's in control of the United States. I want to be clear about what I'm saying. It's the regime that is in a desperate mode right now. It's hanging on to power, but it's bleeding.
And use that word regime. That word regime has been showing up a lot in the Podesta emails that WikiLeaks has been dropping.
Oh, yeah?
That they are calling themselves the regime.
Really?
Yeah. That
Podesta calls it?
The different staffers on the Clinton staff have been using that word. It's been popping up a lot in the...
They actually call themselves the regime?
Yes. So,
but we need regime change in Washington. What does the U.S. do with a foreign country when it wants regime change?
Train some rebels, bribe some politicians.
Start a revolution.
Gut the economy.
And if that doesn't work, then what do? They bomb the country?
No-fly zones.
Send in terrorists.
So what would happen if Russia wanted a regime change in Washington?
It cut off the head of the snake.
That's what I'm concerned about.
Folks, We are living in desperate times.
Is that enough to get you to pray? Is that enough to get you to pray? I said before we came into the studio, well, as we came in here, I said, as everybody was taking their seats, I said, you know, when after the Lord comes back, we're all probably, you know, when the saints that went on before us, when they say, what was it like in the last days of the world? And we're going to say, it got so weird. It got weird and crazy. It just got weird. It is weird right now. And I'm seeing secular alternative websites where the writers do not know God. They don't know Jesus Christ. They're secular people. And they are talking about the weirdness, the lunacy. Like, are we the only ones that are seeing it and feeling? Why isn't everybody aware of how lunatic reality has become? Well, you can only see it if the Holy Spirit's showing it to you.
Right.
And really what's happening, those writers are not even aware it's the Holy Spirit working in their lives to show them we're on. Remember the old song in the 60s, we're on the eve of destruction?
Barry McGuire.
Was it right? About 1967, 68. We're on the eve of destruction. That's where we are right now. We're on the eve of destruction. And every single Christian should be interceding, pleading, begging. Listen, beg God for a reprieve. Beg him for a reprieve. Ask him to grant us a reprieve as a nation. And ask him to show us how to correct this mess that we're in. Ask him to bring down, to utterly defeat those in power who are wicked and cruel and evil, and doing the work of Lucifer. Intercede, ask him to bring them down. Because my sermon Sunday night, we're in the valley of decision. I honestly believe the next 2 to 3 weeks will decide the fate of the nation forever. We may cease to exist as a nation before the year is over.
So shall we close out the sermon with a prayer?
Yes. Let's pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, Father, we come to you in the name of our beloved Savior, Jesus Christ. And Father, we confess on behalf of our nation that we are sinners. This nation has sinned grievously against you. And our leaders are corrupt. But our leaders are corrupt because we are corrupt as a people. We have tolerated their corruption. We tolerated their corruption in return for them allowing our nation to sin. That was the deal. The American people gave them license to be corrupt because they gave the American people license to be sinful. And now we're on the eve of destruction, and our nation's existence is threatened, Father, as there is talk of nuclear war and as Russia is getting its missiles in place and calling their people to come home and preparing their bomb shelters. Father, we ask you in the name of Jesus to intervene in our nation. We know that you already are doing it. We pray for Julian Assange. Father, you have used him to expose the evil and corruption of our government. Now, Father, bring these people to justice that they would be apprehended and justice would be done. And we pray, Father, that for every man and woman who is standing for righteousness and for decency in this country, Lord, that you would give us strength, that you would send angels to us now. We need help. We've been overpowered, Father, by the forces of evil. And we're asking for help from heaven. Father, we pray that during tomorrow night's debate, I pray that Hillary Clinton will fall before the entire world. Lord, it is according to your divine way that she falls. But she's evil. Let her corruption and wickedness be exposed. I pray that she falls and that the entire world sees her fall and that she does not recover. Father, give us victory. Give your church victory and spare us from destruction. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.